There are times it sure feels like a job, Terry, but we managed to still have fun with it. And we are still a hobby farm. We are considered a small producer. We don't even, none of what we produce is actually, tallied in any, official calculation in terms of production for the state of Michigan and nationally as far as maple syrup. So we do so little. I mean, we're a blip on the radar, and everything that's produced between the number of volunteers it takes, because it's so labor intensive, and hence the price of real maple syrup. Obviously, it's not cheap. A lot goes into it, so we have a lot of volunteers, and the 100 or so gallons that we produce on average any one year just gets distributed among friends, and sometimes we have enough to share, and we do some donations to charities and other local groups and so forth. But for the most part, it all seems to find a home amongst the volunteers of, 15 or 20 or so gals and guys that help out.
Well, tell me how the season starts.
So we keep a close eye on the weather, because it does take a little bit of prep time in advance of the start of the maple syrup season to really get going. So there's equipment that we've got to make sure is all tuned up between, collection tanks and buckets and hoses. So we're still doing things the old fashioned way, Terry. So we've got the old taps, which are, the old timers refer to as spiles. It's just a tap that goes into the tree, and that's what is going to pull the, help draw that sap out of the tree. So we're going to put, once the season starts, we do a little prep, keep an eye on the weather. And then once we see the temperature starting to consistently break above freezing, so we get it above 32 Fahrenheit, ideally in the high 30s, low 40s, and then freezing again at night, because that's important, because that does that daily flow, the ebb and flow of the sap, up toward the leaves as it warms, to power the budding of the tree when the time is right later in the season. And then when it gets colder, it draws it back down. So you actually do get a flow of sap, and there's a fair amount of liquid volume that's going through a tree. So what we're doing when we begin to tap, Terry, we're putting a small hole into the tree, 2.5 inches deep, a little bit wider than a quarter inch wide, and anywhere between 1 to 3 tap holes in each tree that we drill in by hand or use, some power drills, some high impact drivers. Put the taps in. Taps are connected to the plastic tubing, the hoses that goes into the 5-gallon buckets, and then nature does its job as the ebb and flow of the freeze and the thaw, the daily cycle of going above 32 and then again below freezing, that sap is going to flow up and down the tree. So we're extracting a little bit of that sap that the tree uses, maybe between 5 and 10%, and as that sap fills that bucket, we collect by hand, one tree at a time, going tree to tree, and then that goes into collection tanks on the tractors to some big holding tanks near the sugar shack where we cook it down, and then obviously from there kind of the fun starts, and then that sap goes into the evaporators, we cook that down, and ultimately we have the finished product, which is maple syrup.
Now, when does the season stop? When do the trees stop, or when do you stop taking the sap out of the tree?
Yeah, there's years, Terry, it's funny, where the sap is still flowing, but the guys tell me they've had enough, and that's enough production for a year. When Mother Nature, when it's time to stop, you'll notice, or we'll notice, that the trees are actually starting to bud, and the sap itself starts to discolor. It's going to start to brown, and there's a chemical change, an enzyme reaction. As the tree buds, the sap, the consistency or quality of the sap actually changes, and it can no longer be used for making maple syrup. I mean, you can still use it, but there's going to be some off flavors and some bitterness. So Mother Nature, again, tells us when that time is. And it's usually when we've consistently had some warm temperatures. You're starting to see the soft maples bud, hard maples are going to bud out a little bit later. And, you know, you can extend that season sometimes into April, but from year to year, our records, and I've, you know, maintained records going back 15, 20 years, as long as we've had the sugar bush, anywhere from late February into early April, you know, so it's about a 4 to 6 week season, and then you call it.
Now, do you leave the tap in the tree, take it out? Do you then next year, if you take it out, put it back in the same hole, or what's the process there with the tap?
Yeah, great question. So the taps come out every year, okay, and we you know, we pull everything, the taps, the hose, the buckets, that all gets cleaned annually, and the tap hole that remains is just it's the tree itself heals. It starts healing from, you know, really from the day that you drill the hole. So when you go out again next year and we retap the trees, we're looking for a spot that hasn't been tapped. Okay. So the taps come out every year. And then because of the natural process, the tree's natural healing process, that area around that small hole scars, and then it heals around, you know, new bark grows around it. And then that old tap hole is no longer suitable for using anymore. So you've got to find some kind of fresh wood. And we've got trees out there that are well over, you know, 100 years old, approaching 150 years old. And they are literally just about tapped out. There are so many tap holes around them from, you know, generations of tapping, you know, that we've got to be pretty diligent in looking for some fresh area of tree to tap.
Now, you're looking at a tap about how high up the tree, as a rule of thumb, do you go?
Yeah, so we're maybe, you know, you're about between 2 and 4 feet off of the ground, usually in the taps. the hose itself, hose lengths are, you know, those are all, you know, prefabricated that we do just, I mean, we do them ourselves, but they're all set to a standard length. And so usually between, you know, you just got to set the bucket in a spot where it's, you know, less likely to tip over on the forest floor. And, you know, a lot of times early on, like we had this year, we had some snow on the ground yet. So you've got to find a place to, you know, put the bucket. And then usually there's between 2 and 4 feet off the ground. Usually find a place suitable for tapping.
All right. So we have our product. It went to the sugar shack. We get it to the sugar shack. Now, what's the process? What are we doing?
All right. Again, small producer. So we've got, we have holding tanks for the fresh sap, and sap has a shelf life. Typically, you know, 2 to 5 days, you want that stuff cooked down. Otherwise, you know, the bacteria that exists naturally, yeast and bacteria are going to start to feed on those sugars in there. So we want to utilize fresh sap when it's available. So we have just around 1,000 gallons of sap holding capacity for the fresh sap, and we'll begin to cook as soon as we have, you know, an adequate volume, somewhere around, you know, 200 to 250 gallons. So that gets put into a holding tank that we call our gravity tank that flows into what again we call an evaporator. There's always, you know, certain jargon for all these, you know, all these pieces that we use, these pieces of equipment that are utilized. And an evaporator, Terry, is just a fancy name for a cooker, because all we're doing in making maple syrup is we're extracting water. And one of the most, you know, efficient ways outside of, you know, using a reverse osmosis process is really to evaporate the water out of the sap, which leaves the sugar and the other nutrients and minerals and so forth in there. So we're going from around 2 to 2.5% sugar that exists in the sap naturally to 66-67% sugar. So through that process, and that main gravity tank that's on a float valve, so that's piped into that main evaporator, that main cooker. And as you know, we stoke the fire. So we heat, we do everything with wood, And so that wood provides that fire and that fuel to cook off that water and evaporate that sap down from, 2.5% sugar, extract the water out of it through the boiling process to 66, 67%. And then we measure using both temperature and gravity. So we have a hydrometer to measure the specific gravity of the liquid as it's approaching maple syrup. And then from that point, we draw off, and then it gets filtered and bottled right on site. So we're truly almost a field to fork operation when it comes to, we have the maple trees right outside the sugar shack in the sugar bush. And, the sap in the holding tanks gets cooked down in the evaporator. And then the finished product is drawn, filtered, and bottled right there on site and then ready to go to put on your pancakes, Terry.
So I've got a bottle of that maple syrup. How much raw product did it take to make that one bottle?
That is such a great question, because the volume of sap that it takes to, to go from that 2.5% sugar to that maple syrup that you see in the store that's packaged, it takes, what we found in our woods, on average, around 45 gallons of raw sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup. So if you think about it, about 10 gallons or so of raw sap is going to yield somewhere around a liter or a quart of finished maple syrup. So there's a lot of water extraction that happens in that process. So from somewhere between 40 to 45 to 1 ratio to go from sap to maple syrup.
Do the flavors of the maple syrup change from year to year based on the weather and the harvest conditions?
The flavors don't change too much from year to year, but they do change from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. So as the season starts and the temperatures are colder, there are less, and I don't know how to really summarize, what all gets into the sap, but as the season goes on and the process of cooking is going to darken that. So there's bacteria, natural bacteria, all naturally occurring, that as the season progresses, Terry, the color of the syrup is going to darken a little bit. And with that comes some more complex characteristics of the flavor profile that changes from just maybe like pure maple flavor to something that's a little bit more caramel. And then as the late season goes on, you end up with a much darker syrup, which they call the B grade. So we go from, I think they still refer to it as like the fancy Vermont grade, the very light pure maple flavor in the early season, or the class A syrup, to the B syrup, which is considered, table syrup or can be used in cooking, that has a much more complex flavor that almost includes some molasses and heavier caramel. So I kind of prefer the flavors as it progresses through the season. We get about halfway through the season. It's got a nice amber color to it and a lot of character to it, but it's all based on personal preference. So it's really kind of one of the neat things too, as you go through the season, see the colors and the flavor profile change in your maple syrup.
So when I get a bottle of your maple syrup, what's the label going to say? Is it going to be handwritten, Grandpa Greg's maple syrup? What are you calling your syrup?
Yeah. Not quite yet. We'll give the grandpa status a few years yet, but there are days it sure feels like it. But our syrup is simply called Rummel Vault Sugar Bush Pure Maple Syrup, and it's not available commercially yet, but maybe one of these days it'll be on a store shelf somewhere near you.